Good afternoon. I am delighted to be with you today to announce the National Hockey League's plans for our resumption of play, the format of the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs, and how we will conduct the 2020 NHL draft lottery. Before I get into the details, I want to make clear that the health and safety of our players, coaches, essential support staff, and our communities are paramount.
And that's the NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. Welcome to 31 Thoughts. We'll call this version the hit shift. Just a quick one. The big news, the return to play plan has now been released. Information on the draft lottery as well. But Elliot, just as a wide brush, before we start to drill down and get into some of the specifics of the announcement that we heard not that long ago as we released this podcast, what are your initial thoughts on what we heard the commissioner and the deputy commissioner, Bill Daly, talk about earlier today?
Well, it's a good PR day for the NHL. There's no question about that. You get some positive news out there about the idea of a format. And if we do come back, you know, this is what we're going to come back to. Let's just leave aside from the fact that there's still a lot of questions to answer here. The things that stood out to me, number one, an admission that the Canadian border is more of a problem than to this point that everybody has let on. Mm-hmm. That's number one. And number two, the lottery idea. I really thought initially I was going to hate whatever they came up with the lottery, but I like this. I like the fact that the eight teams that get knocked out in the play-in will be possible. Mm-hmm. I think they get a reasonable enough chance. And I think it's just, as a lover of chaos, Jeff, you must love the fact that we could have to wait, I don't know what, 6 weeks after the lottery,
yep,
to find out who has the number one pick.
And you know, if Pittsburgh gets knocked out by the Montreal Canadiens, that the Penguins are getting Alexis Lafreniere. You just know this is going to happen, right, Elliot?
I've heard a lot of really funny stuff like this. Like the Penguins are getting Lafreniere. Like the Leafs are going to win the Stanley Cup and not be able to have a parade. Like, yeah. I've heard all of this stuff today.
Okay, a couple of things. One, for the purposes of this podcast in Canada specifically, the border issue being more of a hurdle than originally discussed or speculated upon. And this all comes down to Bill Daly saying, listen, a 14-day quarantine for athletes is a non-starter for this league.
Well, I think the players have made it very clear that, you know, they're going to be spending enough time isolated with or away from their families that they don't want to have to increase it any more than they have to. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is about. Now, some Canadians might listen to this and say, too bad. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the way it is. And, you know, we don't want it if you're not willing to quarantine. And the players will say fine to that. They'll say, we understand, but you can't expect us to want to do that either. The most interesting thing about it for me, though, Jeff, is that quietly, there were a lot of people who seemed to be hinting that they would be able to sort this out. This is the first time that I think that anyone has ever really come out and said, officially, this could be a problem. And, you know, we'll see where we go from there. I think the other thing, too, about the hub cities is the return of Los Angeles and Chicago, I think, makes two really interesting arrivals here.
Why is that?
Well, because I've said with you that there was a rumor that at some point the league at least thought about the possibility of everybody in Disneyland and the using the rinks in Anaheim and L.A.,
right.
And LA Live is a really good setup. Like, that would be a really good, safe setup. So if there is the opportunity to go to LA, I think that LA becomes a legit contender. Chicago's an interesting one to me because if they want to use it as quote unquote an Eastern option, they can. You know, with everything that's kind of going on in Toronto, cases have been going up. The people in Trinity Bellwoods.
Well, officials are threatening to close one of Toronto's biggest city parks if people don't respect physical distancing rules.
Thousands of people turning out to Trinity Bellwoods. It's a big park in Toronto, very popular in summer. As you can see there, a lot of groups, certainly many of them numbering more than five, which is the current restriction on gathering sizes in Ontario.
And the images I saw yesterday from Trinity Bellwoods Park in Toronto, you know, I thought it was a rock concert at the beginning when I went out there. I was absolutely shocked.
I think people are beginning to wonder is, does this really make sense? So your other Eastern options are Columbus and Pittsburgh. And I just think Chicago gives you another possibility. And the fact that it really hadn't been heard a lot until lately, that says to me that it's getting a bit of an eye.
We were always...
But you know what also, Jeff? Like,
what's that?
You know, what happens if the two best options are West? You're not telling me this couldn't change again?
I was going to end up there because I think that if you're the NHL, whatever two markets fit you the best, you do it, whether it's two in the East or two in the West. I think you just go about it that way.
I agree.
We had heard, you know, for the longest time, the preference was four hub cities. When and why did that change, to the best of your knowledge?
I think it changed about 2 weeks ago. I heard that the cities that were asked of about eight teams then got a request, how do you feel about 12? Mm-hmm. So I think it was about 2 weeks ago that really started to change.
Okay, a couple of other things here.
Sorry, Jeff. I think that I'm Captain Interruption tonight.
It's okay. One of those nights.
What if the two... What if the two best cities are Vegas and LA?
Then do it.
Who cares if they're in the West? Yeah.
Who cares? Just play it. A few things here. The 24-team playoff, starting no sooner than July 1st. Last two rounds are a best of seven. We don't know about the other rounds yet. And it seems as if, and we saw this from the players over the weekend, they did not like the bracket system. They wanted a seeding system. And Elliot, they got it.
Just a slight technical thing. I think the training camps will begin in July. Like, correct, the games might not begin till end of July, August. I will tell you, as I heard tonight, I think there's a legit chance the players could win the argument on the seeding. Like, that might legitimately change. I don't know where the best of three of five, best four of seven. Mm-hmm. The other thing I'm hearing is there could be two exhibition games too.
Two exhibition games? Every team gets two exhibition games?
That's one of the things that some people told me they were hearing, yes.
Okay, I want to get through all of this here, so let's try to fly through as much as we can. Top four in each conference. Round robin style tournament using regular season rules. And a chance for either Dallas or Philadelphia to grab the top seed.
Yes, yeah, so the way that works is if you go 3-0, you could take the top seed. And I personally don't think that Boston should lose the top seed. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I think the regular season and the work they did should be enough. Like, I don't think you should be allowed to jump anyone that you couldn't jump in the regular season. That's why I think Boston shouldn't be jumped. I think Dallas should be able to jump Vegas for third. Mm-hmm. I think Colorado should be able to jump St. Louis for first.
Philadelphia should jump Washington.
Philadelphia should be able to jump Washington, but I don't believe anybody who couldn't jump someone should be able to do it, although it looks as if I've lost that argument.
Expanded rosters in all of this, that's no surprise.
You know, I'm hearing the number is 28 skaters, and I assume three or four goalies, but 28 skaters is the number I'm hearing.
Very good. Also of note, we talked about this on the last podcast as well, under the umbrella of what happened with UFC Jacksonville 2 weeks ago when Jacare Souza tested positive and the show went on. Bill Daly, deputy commissioner, saying a single positive test will not shut this down.
You know, they've been consistent about that. And, you know, as we've seen it, all these leagues are copying each other right now, right?
Sure.
And as you've seen by the Bundesliga, positive tests have not shut down the league. I think the question we don't know at this point in time is, what's too many? And that's where we kind of are here. Like I said, it's a great PR day for the league and the players. Mm-hmm. But there's still so many questions to answer. And one of those questions is, how many is too many? And we're at kind of a weird spot in the world right now, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just go on social media, you've got the whole, this doesn't affect NHL players, people like them, because they're young and healthy, versus we don't really know what this disease does or doesn't do.
Yeah.
And then you've got the lockdown is stupid versus the lockdown is still very necessary. Only gradual reopening should happen. So if these arguments are happening between people, you can only imagine the wide differing opinions among NHL players.
And then one of the questions then becomes, if there is, and I'll just pull a number out of the hat, if there are five positive tests on the team, does that force a forfeit only for that team, or does that shut everything down?
I think that's all part of this. I think there are so many little details and small things still to be answered. You know, the questions of what do you feel about your family being either with you or separated from you? Jordan Martinook, on his conference call with Carolina the other day, he said that they hadn't made that decision yet. There are players who time pregnancies with their families for the summer. You know, there's still the economic part of this, and baseball's is very public. And to this point, the NHL has done, and the players have mostly done, a really good job of keeping the economics out of the picture while a lot of people are struggling. But that's very big here. You know, the players don't get paid from this time on the rest of this season. So what is the economic benefit of them to come back?
Is it that they don't get paid, or they do get paid in the sense that anything they can do now to play will reduce their escrow? So in a sense, they are getting paid.
Well, that is very fair, but how much? The guys are telling me the estimate is they'll save themselves 7 to 8 points.
Okay.
So if you go back to what everybody was predicting before, when this all started, people were predicting 35% escrow.
Right.
Okay. If it's 7 to 8 points, that gets you down to, you know, 27, 28. Is that enough of an incentive? And so we believe that behind the scenes, the commissioner and Donald Fehr are working on this. And will they get enough of a benefit to coming back? And then the owners are all going to say, hey, you know, we're losing here too. Our businesses are getting hammered too. So it has to make sense for us also. So I think, like, there's still a lot to work out here.
Timeline here. So no sooner than July 1st for training camps, Commissioner Bettman talking about either late July or early August for a potential restart of the season under this proposed 24-team playoff format. But then his quote, and this I'm just grabbing from one of Chris Johnston's tweets, is, if it has to slide more than that, it will slide. How late are we talking here, Elliot?
Well, I thought the smartest thing the commissioner did today was no dates.
Of course. Of course. Don't
marry yourself. Because once you put dates on, people are like, oh, you missed the date. Disaster. Goodbye.
Totally.
And like, I've had players say to me, start later. And I've asked, okay, why aren't we thinking of starting in September? And one of the things that people tell me is that everybody is worried, not just the NHL, but if you look at the NCAA schools putting out their classes for next year, they end early because everybody's looking at that second wave,
right?
That combination flu season, second wave. And I think Bettman's worried about that too. I think that's something he's discussed quite a bit. We have to beat the second wave. So I don't think he'll put dates on it, but I think he'd love for the season to be over by first or second week of October at the latest.
Okay, a couple of more things here. One, this might be a small thing, but for players it's a big one because we're talking, well, you'll see. Where do the stats from the qualification round go? Do they count towards playoff points, or, since the commissioner has said the season is over, does that mean the Art Ross has been wrapped up by Leon Draisaitl and the Rocket Richard trophy is shared by David Pastrnak and Alexander Ovechkin? Where do those stats go?
As of press time, as I used to say as a print reporter, there's no clear answer on that because, you know, I felt badly for some of these teams. You know, the commissioner comes out and says the regular season's over, and that is the information he gave the teams. And some of the social media people start tweeting out, you know, the Oilers, Leon Draisaitl is your Art Ross Trophy winner.
Yeah.
And now there's a hold on, not so fast here. I don't know the answer to this one tonight. And, like, you know what? I think it's hard to kind of get make fun of people about this because we're in such a ridiculous time, but we don't have a good answer for this tonight. We really don't.
Would that just be as simple, you mentioned the negotiation between Gary Bettman and Donald Fear. Is that just as simply a matter of negotiating where those stats go between those two?
I would guess so. But the other thing is, like, you know, there's bonuses here, right?
Yeah.
There's bonuses here. There's trophies. There's awards voting. You know, one of the interesting ones is one of the guys in the NHL this year who had a really nice, good, strong season, kind of put himself on the map, is Carson Soucy, a defenseman from Minnesota. So he's 25 years old. He's played three pro seasons, and he's at 62 career games, including playoffs.
Okay.
That makes him a Group 6 free agent at the end of this year. If you are older than 25 and you have at least three pro seasons and you've appeared in less than 80 games, regular season or playoffs, you're a UFA. If he gets to 80, he's an RFA. Okay, so they keep his restricted free agent rights. If Minnesota goes on, beats Vancouver and goes on a run where he plays 18 games, no problem. But what do those games against Vancouver mean? Do they count to the total or not? And that's going to be a little interesting thing to keep an eye on.
We have Twilight Zone games now in this yes, play-in round. Yes. Okay, a couple of other things really quickly here. As the regular season has now been ended, one of the first tweets that I saw about it is, when do refunds begin for people that had tickets for remaining games?
Well, I saw Buffalo sent theirs out.
Okay.
You know, so I'm sure more will be coming. By the way, we should mention, credit to John Walro of AP, who got the scoop today right from Kim Pagula, that Jason Botterill will be back as the Sabres GM next year. We should mention that in this podcast. So Buffalo sent theirs out. I have a feeling more of this stuff will be coming out, but I think also they're going to offer fans credit for next year, right? Like if you want to come back, they'll give you a credit. So you know that they're going to try to do whatever they can to make this work for their fans, to give them incentive to stay on.
Do you have a thought on the acting director of Homeland Security signing an order making pro athletes essential workers? That seems to have rubbed people in a difficult way, some anyhow.
Look, you knew that when Trump got involved, he was going to do what it took to make it work, right?
Yep.
I gave up on, you know, this is just a personal belief, I gave up on politicians a long time ago. I don't expect anything from them.
When you look at this proposed 24-team playoff, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, how much of it do you look at and you say, as much as the regular season does have some meaning and should have some meaning for teams like, you mentioned the Boston Bruins, and that's an obvious one, considering this break, and again, this is only a format. This does not mean that the NHL is back on the ice anytime soon. Mm-hmm. How much do you just look at these 24 teams and say, I don't know. Let's see what happens.
A lot. Like, who knows who's going to be good and who's not going to be good?
No clue.
Like, you think St. Louis is going to be good. You think Boston's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But you know who I know terrifies a lot of people right now?
The Rangers?
Columbus.
Because they're young and they have hot goaltending?
Because they're healthy now and they grind you.
But they still can't score. Like that at the end of all of it, that's going to be the Achilles for Columbus. All that hard work. And they have to, like you mentioned, grinding. They grind for every single goal.
Mm-hmm.
And in the playoffs, that catches up to you.
Yep.
Like when they had Panarin, they could score an easy goal. Oh, I take all the pressure off. That guy's gone. That's why I look at Columbus and I say, man, it's a hardworking team. You respect the hell out of that team. But man, that's a brutal way to go through the playoffs. Having to claw for every single goal. That's tough.
I don't disagree with you.
Hey, one thing that is still sort of out there, any more word on putting together a new critical dates calendar?
No, I haven't heard that. The next kind of interesting date is June 1st. Like players who haven't been signed, from the draft in 2018 from the CHL and 2016 from like the USHL and the NCAA and overseas. Those players are free agents. But the others, critical dates, I haven't heard that yet. I have not.
Before we let this podcast go and release it, anything you think we're leaving out so far? Anything to your mind right away from what was really a whirlwind couple of hours from the announcement to the press conferences?
I don't think so. I got to tell you, the one thing I give Bettman real credit for was when I heard the way the draft lottery was first explained to me, I was like, there's no chance that this is going to make any sense. And the way he explained it during his media conference, it was actually very sensible.
Let me give you some explanation. The format was adopted in order to maintain the distribution of lottery winning odds that were in place entering the 2019-20 season. In other words, teams that do not resume play have the same odds of claiming one of the top three selections as they would have had if the 2019-20 schedule had been completed. As previously stated, all clubs involved in any phase two draw as a group will have the same odds of winning. Should any of the three draws not be won by a non-resuming club, we will conduct a phase two before the conference quarterfinals. At that point, the assignment of the remaining top three selections will be determined through draws, including only the qualifying round clubs that fail to advance. For any and all phase two draws, all teams involved will have the same odds of winning. For a possible first of such draws, each club would have 12.5% chance of winning, 1-8, which means each of the losing clubs in the qualifying round would have, in effect, a 3% chance of winning the first overall pick.
That draft lottery was so confusing.
There's a real air of mystery about it this time around.
But the way it was explained actually made a ton of sense. Like, I looked at it and said, huh, that's much less complicated than I thought it was going to be.
All right. And we hope that we uncomplicated this entire situation for you. Thanks for listening to the, I don't know what we're going to call it. Hit Shift seems glib, but we'll just call it that. The 31 Thoughts Hit Shift podcast. Just a quickie today. We do have another podcast coming out a little bit later on this week. Uffe Bodin, Swedish reporter, will be aboard with us alongside Shirelli Najak and Kyle Bukauskas of Hockey Night in Canada. And yes, more word association for Elliot. Guess the theme. So on behalf of Elliot Friedman and our producer, Emil Delitz, Jeff Merrick signing off. Thanks so much for listening. You may now resume your normal lives of crossing your fingers and tucking yourself in tonight in your Pittsburgh or Chicago or Colorado or Tampa, Boston, St. Louis, Calgary, Winnipeg jammies and dreaming of an NHL return. We all are.